Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone, but most especially to everyone who's part of the baptismal party. All for you, Mr. Smiler. A great big grin at the front. I think he knows you're all here for him. Your centre of attention. It's lovely to welcome you to the church. If anyone needs a toilet during the service, if you go out that door and then turn left into the vestry and right off the vestry, there's a toilet just in there, or outside down to the halls, and there's toilets down there. I think everything else will be self-explanatory. Oh, during the second hymn, the children will be going out to Jigsaw, and if any other children would like to go with them at that point, with or without parents, you're very welcome. We're very easy come, easy go in this church. If you want to go out, you can. If you want to stay, you can. We just love having youngsters in church. Our order of service has intimations on the back of it. Wonderful to announce that Santa's Grotto last Sunday raised £1,575, which is just amazing. A massive amount of work went into that, particularly headed up by Margaret and Karen, but a big team of folk helping, and thank you to everybody that came along. And this coming Saturday, it's that time of year, the Christmas fair is on from 10 till 12. Just £2 a head, and you'll get endless cups of tea and coffee and fine bakes and lovely things to buy, all sorts. So I think all the other intimations are as printed. So we will come to worship God and celebrate the baptism of Arthur. God is love. We are all his beloved children, and we can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. And he sees every single one of us as gorgeous, especially those all dressed up for the baptism. So we begin our services with some words today from Psalm 46. I will say the first verse, and then if you like to join together with the second verse, it's all up on the screen. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. So we'll now stand, those who are able, and sing our first hymn, chosen by Claire, Thank You, Lord, for This Fine Day.
Thank you.
please have a seat. So last week I promised that I would tell you the next instalment about Mary and Joseph, didn't I? And we've got a very busy service, so I'm just going to keep it really short. But where did we leave Mary and Joseph? What was happening with them last Sunday? Can you remember? Yes, Laurel. They were going to have a baby. Yeah. I wonder where Arthur was born, because we've got a baby in church today, haven't we? Where was Arthur born?
He was born in Wishaw.
He was born in Wishaw Hospital. Was baby Jesus born in hospital? Was he not born in Wishaw? They didn't have hospitals back then. We've got some very wise children here. So where was Jesus born? Yes, Andrew. In an old shed. Yeah, an old shed or a stable. Yes. In Bethlehem as well. Fantastic. So you'll learn more about that down at Jigsaw, but we're going to move on and baptize Arthur. Because there's lots of things. You've been at baptisms before, haven't you? There's lots of things that I have to say. The gospel tells us that Jesus was baptized. He's grinning away at me. Is it really funny? Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John. That's quite amazing, isn't it? Because Jesus was totally innocent, just as Arthur. How innocent is he? He's still fairly innocent. Okay. But he was baptized. Jesus was baptized. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens break open and the Spirit descended on him. It did, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. In you I take delight." And I'm sure that God is saying just now, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. I take delight." And then in Matthew's gospel, we're told that Jesus himself said, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go, therefore, to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. I will be with you always to the end of time." So I'm obeying that command, and Claire and Paul and the whole congregation are going to obey that command by teaching Arthur, as we're already teaching Ruby, how to live Jesus' way. And then one more reading. In Luke's gospel, we read that Jesus called for the children and said, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And that's why I love to welcome children into our church. When I was little, I remember that if you went to church, you had to be seen and not heard. And it wasn't very nice. So I'm delighted to hear and see children in church. And if any of my congregation complain about it, they'll have me to answer to. When Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him. His baptism was completed through his dying and rising again. And our baptism is the sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. It's not really me who does the baptizing. It's Christ himself who baptizes us. By the Spirit of Pentecost, he makes us members of his body, the church, and calls us to share in his ministry in the world. And by water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. He does. Yeah, that's a wow, isn't it, Arthur? In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we can't understand or explain it, we're called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. In baptism, Arthur is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and the seal of the Holy Spirit is placed upon him. Now, Claire and Paul, can I ask you to stand up here with the godparents? Stand up and face the congregation, please. Sorry, no place to hide. Paul and Claire, in presenting Arthur Alexander Younger for baptism, desiring that he may be grafted into Christ as a member of his body, the church, do you receive the teaching of the Christian faith which we confess in the Apostles' Creed?
I do.
They both said, I do. I won't tell you what Claire suggested was the next step. So would everybody please like to stand now as we affirm the faith? Again, the words will be on the screen. Do you want them from here? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. They're up on the screen. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may now sit, but you can stay standing. Let's come before God in prayer. We thank you, gracious God, for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this water, that Arthur, being buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Can I ask you to hold my words for me? May I have a cuddle?
Well, you're more interested in my words, are you?
Right. Arthur, are you listening?
No, more interested in Mum.
For you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is accomplished." For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, Arthur, though you do not know it yet. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God loved us first. You like my cross? Now, the actual baptism moment. Arthur or Arthur Alexander? Arthur Alexander, I baptize you in the name of the Father who loved you, the Son who died for you, and the Holy Spirit who gives you life. Just like that. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Amen. Let's all now sing the blessing. You can see. Arthur is now baptized in Jesus Christ. And he keeps knocking my microphone. We receive and welcome him as a member of the one holy Catholic Church. And now I ask you to complete a promise.
Come here.
It's difficult with a microphone, isn't it? Arthur belongs to God in Christ. On this day, he will be at home in the Christian community. Always be a place for him. Tell him of his baptism and unfold to him the treasure that he has been given today so that he may know that he is baptized. And as he grows, make his own response in faith and love and come in due time to share in the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach Arthur the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, yes, to bring him up in the life and worship of the church?
I do.
They both do to that too. And now it comes to everybody in the congregation. Would you please all stand as I ask you to make a promise? You who are gathered represent the whole church, the church universal. Word and sacrament bring you the joy of Christ's presence in our midst. They also bring you responsibilities as Christ's people in this place. Do you welcome Arthur? And do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ? They do. Lovely, thank you. Let's say these words together. We will nurture one another in faith, uphold one another in prayer, encourage one another in service. Thank you. We're now going to sing Welcome Baby, and I'm going to take Arthur for a wee walk, and Ruby was going to come with me, but I'm sure she'll join up. She'd just gone to the toilet. Perfect timing. Thank you. Do you want to pop that down?
Yes.
Wonderful, thank you. I'll just get my folder.
That's okay.
Oh, you're at the toilet. We've been round the church. Do you want to walk round and say hello to everybody as well? No. Okay. Let us pray once more. Oh, you can sit down, sorry. God of love, we rejoice again to receive your grace in word and sacrament. We have heard your call and are made new by your Spirit. Guide and guard Arthur all his days. May your love hold him, your truth guide him, your joy delight him. Bless his parents and his sister Ruby, that he may grow up in a secure and happy home. Give to his family wisdom and courage, laughter and peace, and the love that endures all things. God of grace, in whose church there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, help us to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to profess with our whole lives the one true faith, and to live in love and unity with all who are baptized in his name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshipped and glorified with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure if we usually blow raspberries during a prayer, but why not? Now, I think the children have some presents, and I've realized I've forgotten to light the candle. Who's presenting what? Okay, right, so you're doing all the certificates. Oh, gosh. Well, there's this one. That one's for Mum and Dad. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can give that one to Mum and Dad. And do you want to give these to the godparents? This one's for Kim. That one's Kim. And this one's for David.
Thank you.
And there's another certificate as well. And then, you giving the flowers? Yeah. And if you can give me a second, I'll get matches to light the candle. I always forget one thing, don't I? Welcome to have a seat.
Thank you.
This is our Easter candle. On Easter morning each year, we light a new candle representing the risen Christ coming into our church. And at a baptism, we light that candle again, symbolizing the everlasting light. And then I have a candle which is a gift for Arthur. So I will light it from the Christ candle. And give it to Mum to hold. And we ask that every year on this date, and you'll now have both of them, you light their candles and remind Ruby and Arthur of their baptism. Tell them about today, because if some really rich person, I mean, maybe somebody in the congregation is really rich and has already given them £1 million and put it in a bank, it would be absolutely no use to them unless they knew about it. God's love is worth way more than £1 million. So as they grow up, tell them about it. And there's a wee poem to go with it as well and some readings. Thank you all very, very much. We're now going to sing another hymn chosen by Claire. Yes, you can blow it out. Probably safer, and that's a wee box for it. All right. Do you want me to light it again so Ruby can blow it out? Yeah. And then we're going to sing Give Me Oil in My Lamp. And during the singing, right at the beginning, it's now blown out. The children are going to go down to Jigsaw. As I said, if you want to go with them, that's fine. If you want to stay, that's equally fine. So, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning.
Give me oil in my lamp.
Please have a seat. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving, living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bow down and worship you, the one God in whom we live and move and have our being. We praise you that your Son, Jesus, is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For you were pleased to have all your fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to yourself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you now with all our hurts, all our disappointments, all our awareness of failure, all our sense of injury, all our pent-up bitterness, dislikes, and hatreds, and yes, all our sin. Lord, we praise you that we may experience the cleansing and the healing of your wonderful, costly forgiveness, that we may be freed from these burdens and go out to live as joyful, whole people, as your beloved children, for your sake and in your name. Amen. We come now to our Bible readings. Our first reading is from Colossians chapter 1 and speaks of Christ the King. Our second reading is from Luke's Gospel. Today is actually the last day in the church year. So for the whole year, we've been looking at Luke's Gospel, and this is the last reading. It seems a very odd one as we're approaching Christmas to read about the crucifixion, but hopefully you'll see the connection. Jim.
First reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 11 to verse 20. May you be made strong with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 23, reading from verse 33 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also come up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there were hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Amen. And may God bless you as the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. It's not only Arthur who can't understand the depths of God's love, and I think that's why there are often so many paradoxes, both in what's written in the Bible and the way the church year is constructed. So I'm just adding to that paradox now by inviting you to sing an Easter hymn. If you've got a purple hymn book, it's number 380, "There Is a Green Hill," and that's the hymn before the sermon. Sit down. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on my lips, on our lips, and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Father, forgive them. What depth of love, what amazing grace, what a totally awesome display of superhuman humanity. Jesus was as innocent, or judging from his parents, maybe even more innocent than we, Arthur. Yet he was treated abominably. He was betrayed by a friend, arrested, tried, and despite no proof at all of any guilt, he was killed in the most painful and humiliating way by crucifixion. Yet as he hung there between two criminals in agony as he tried to breathe, this is what he said, "Father, Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. An amazing display of love. And then, completely ignoring the guards who were dividing up his clothes at the foot of the cross, completely ignoring those who were standing by watching and doing nothing, completely ignoring the rulers who were sneering at him, completely ignoring the soldiers who were mocking him and the criminal hurling abuse at him, Jesus listened to the second criminal. That second criminal recognized Jesus' innocence and his identity as Christ the King, as God. And Jesus turned to that open-hearted, honest, humble criminal and said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." What depth of love! What amazing grace, what a totally awesome display of superhuman humanity. This is Jesus, the one we love and seek to follow. He is Christ the King, but is totally unlike any earthly king or ruler. Now, what does that mean for us in our lives? Well, I suspect, or maybe hope, that I'm not alone in having been hurt, betrayed, and in finding it difficult to forgive. I'm going to confess, I was deeply hurt this summer. And I confess that for a while I was consumed by grief, anger, and pain. My behavior was the complete opposite of Christ's. Thankfully, I'm now slowly coming through that experience and thought I would share with you a little of what I'm learning about forgiveness. The first thing I realized when I stopped was just how exhausted I was and that I needed help. I went away on retreat to a place that I know well, a place where I am known and loved unconditionally, a place where I can rest and spend time in silence and prayer. Once I was rested a bit, I was able to see that what I needed was to release all those emotions, for it uses up so much energy keeping a lid on them. Once I'd done that, I was far better able to turn my focus onto God's love, a love which hugs me, warms me, protects me, heals me, and will never let me go. Father, forgive them. I had been judging myself harshly, adding to my pain, because I couldn't bring myself to forgive. And I thought, what sort of minister am I? I can preach about it, but I can't do it myself. And then I realized that with all that help and all that rest and all that prayer, I had reached the point where I still couldn't forgive, but I could ask Jesus to forgive on my behalf, because I'm not yet healed or strong enough to do it myself. And then I had one of those light bulb moments. Jesus himself prayed, "Father, forgive them." Even Jesus delegated forgiveness. And that's what I would love our church to be. Like the retreat house I went to. A place where anyone can come and find rest, find unconditional love and acceptance, a place where all can feel safe enough to express our emotions freely instead of bottling them up because it just makes them worse, a place where together we can focus on God's love, that perfect love which drives out all fear and all negative emotions too. I had been leaning on another human being. But Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So when we need help, when we need support, when we need love, when we need that spiritual sap which flows through the vine to us, we need to turn directly to the vine and not to the other branches. Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, showed the depth of God's love, his amazing grace, and a totally awesome display of superhuman humanity. He showed what is possible when God and humans work together. And from my experience, even starting to forgive brings such freedom and such joy. Amen. We'll now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Pray. Loving, living God, for the many gifts that you have given to each and every one of us, especially today for the gift of Arthur and Ruby, and for every one of us the gift of life, we are hugely grateful. And so we ask you to receive these our offerings and use them and us for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. The church is wherever God's people are praising. Hymn 522 gives a lovely description of what a church can and maybe should be like. Please have a seat while we bring our prayers for others. Robert.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Generous God, forgetful and ungrateful as we often are, for each gift we have been given, for family, friends, and work, for peace and plenty, for joy and laughter, for lessons learned and courage granted, we offer you our heartfelt thanks for mercies received, hopes fulfilled, promises kept, and love renewed. We offer you our heartfelt thanks. And most of all, for Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we offer you our heartfelt thanks. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign in our hearts, our Lord and King. And we pray to you this morning, to you who reigns with the lost by your side, who reigns with the peacemakers by your side, who reigns with the displaced and hungry by your side, who reigns with those the world forgets by your side. We pray that you will hear us as we bring to you the concerns and worries, great and small, that fill our days. For health and happiness, for hope and wholeness, we pray. For those whose lives are dark or empty, stressed or troubled, we pray. Where brokenness in homes or workplaces or in hearts bring hurt, we pray. Where bitterness and sour words, angry looks and cold shoulders bring conflict and animosity and breed despair and fear or alienation, we pray. We pray that you will heal with your grace. And we pray for our Queen and country, for leaders and would-be leaders in Westminster and Edinburgh, and for all who bear the burden of leadership, for leaders across the world in every nation, for those whose leadership is in education, law, the caring services, or in community life, we pray that you will grant them all clear vision and compassionate hearts and the desire to put the needs of others before their own ambitions. We pray for those who live in troubled places, both here and abroad, where hunger, homelessness and violence make life hard. May those with power to make a difference use it well, with fairness, dignity and understanding. We pray too for our church. May it continue to be faithful to its King of Kings and Lord of Lords in word and worship, life and witness, a sign of God's unlimited love for all his subject people. Accept these our prayers in the name of Jesus, our King and our Lord. Amen.
Is going to be hymn 512. Now, one or two observant members may notice that we haven't said the Lord's Prayer yet. And you may also have noticed that I'm carrying my mobile phone around with me. That is because we have started a practice, some of us in this church, of setting our mobile phone alarm clock for 12 o'clock every day. And we stop whatever we're doing at 12 o'clock and say the Lord's Prayer. And we've got 2 minutes to go. But I think we'll just say the Lord's Prayer together 2 minutes early, and when the alarm goes off, I'll shut it up. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all very much for joining us in worship today, and let's try and raise the roof with our final hymn, number 512. To God be the glory, and that wonderful chorus, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So as we go forward to celebrate Arthur's baptism and also go out into the week, may we remember the wonderful gift of forgiveness. And even if we can't yet forgive others, Christ is there to help. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each and every one of us today and forevermore.